Before we begin, I just think that since we're oisik in the inyonim of bitochen, we maybe have a unique opportunity to be helpful in what's obviously a extremely tragic and painful situation. You know, we say Tehillim when someone is sick, when there's a tzor, we say Tehillim. It's, you know, Boduku Menusa. It's what's kept us going throughout the since the Rambam composed the Sefer Tehillim. But what's a little bit strange about it is that there's no mention in most of the Tehillim of any request. So if we'll say Shir Lamalos Esoin Elohim, or Shir Amalos Mima'amakim, or Maskil Adovid, things that are normally said, there's no mention of, please help the sick people, help the people that are in Soros. There's a Mishaberach that we make at the end, which asks for a refuah. So what is the Tehillim doing? And it's obvious that what the Tehillim does is it strengthens our bitochen. When we say, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem, Ki Yim Hashem HaChesed Ha'avi Moifetus, hope to Hashem, because with Hashem is chesed and redemption. For Yiftes Yisrael B'kol Avinois, and He'll redeem Klal Yisrael from all of their shortcomings, and so forth and so on. Esoein Elohim Me'ayin Yobo Ezri. Where does the Ezri come from? Ezri Mim Hashem Oisish My Voice. So what happens when we say Tehillim, we get a chizuk in bitochen, and in that schus, we request with the Mishaberach or a Fuah Shleima or a Yeshua or whatever it is. So I just thought that if we have a Chabura of people that study in Yonei Bitochon on a weekly basis, that we probably have or potentially have a unique dimension that we could add to our saying Tehillim, because we're focused on the Inyan of Bitochon. So I just thought that in response to just to the unthinkable events that took place and the matzav that still exists in great sakona, that as we daven and as we say Tehillim, we should try to muster the inspiration to bitochon, especially as built over the weeks of our studying of the Beis Halevi on bitochon, and hopefully that additional level of bitochon can bring a new dimension to the tefillah, and we never know which dimension can make a difference. You know, that when Yirmiyahu HaNavi realized that all of his efforts, his career, in trying to avert the Churban Beis HaMikdash was almost over, and he did not succeed, he was not succeeding, so he sent a delegation to Chulda, HaNaviyah. She was a Naviyah, that she should be Mispal. And Rashi says that the reason he did that is women have more achmonas. Now imagine how much heart Yirmiyahu HaNavi had put in to avert the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That was his life's mission. The tefillas, the tshuva, the crying, everything. But Chulda, and she wasn't as great. No, he was the Navi of the generation. She was a minor prophetess. But Lemaisa, because of the fact that she was a woman, and she had another dimension of sensitivity that could have made the difference where all of the tefillos and efforts of Yirmiyah might not have. So, l'chayra, if we have an additional level of bitochon that hopefully we've been elevating ourselves in, that l'chayra can make a difference in the tefillos. Hashem should help it. We should be zoichet to be mispal, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should listen to the tefillos of the whole community and call Amcha Beis Yisrael. There should be a refuah shleima to all those who suffer so much in this tragedy, and Yeshuas and Achomas to all the relatives and mishpochas of those that have. Boy, anyway, okay. So we're in Yud Beis now. It's page 31 in this. Okay, and remember he breaks it down. This is not really the Beis Halevis, but Rabbi Sutton did us a favor here. He broke it down into very small, manageable paragraphs, which makes it easier to deal with. So he's talking about the Boteach Bashem, benefits in this world and the next. V'Boteach Marviach Bishtayim. One who puts his bitochon in Hashem has a double benefit. boilum hazeh bevadai yasig bo shechoser loy shechoser loy mehitzar chusoy. Forgive me. Thought I could do it without it. Okay, anyway. So he's bevadai, vadai. We will achieve that which is lacking him in the things that he needs. Uchemaymer hakosuv, and as the posuk says, lo yariv Hashem nefesh tzaddik. Hashem will not famish, will not hunger the soul of a tzaddik. So a tzaddik, many times we find referring to a bal bitochon, ala tzaddikim, ala chasidim, and then we say, saying tzochot tovel chalabaitchem mishim chemes mishonu mivtoch la tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, tzaddik is often a word that's referred to the bal bitochon is called a tzaddik. Now, so this posuk says, but it's very interesting what he says. He says that the bal bitochon, the one who puts his bitochon in Hashem, will bevadai yasig mashechos mehitztarchuso. That which he's lacking, he will definitely achieve. That's a very, very bold statement. And he brings a posuk. Lo yariv Hashem nefesh tzaddik. Hashem will not famish the nefesh of a tzaddik. Now, I just think that what we have to recognize with that is he's saying that the bitochon. Now, again, what is bitochon? That's a different question. How? When have you achieved bitochon? That remains a lot of work we have to do to figure that out. But one who truly reaches what we can be confident is a level of bitochon where he's putting his trust in Hashem and he is confident because he has such a deep recognition of Hashem's chesed and rachamim that he's confident Hashem is not going to let him down. He will achieve, he's confident that he will achieve that which he's lacking from his needs, then bevadai, he will achieve that which he's lacking from his needs, and that's, he brings a raya from that posuk. But I'd like to mention something else. He's talking about what he needs. What about what he doesn't need? What about luxury? What about additional things? This is yasig mehitztar chusoy, that which is his necessities. So we know the necessities in life are guaranteed to the Baal Bitochen. What about the luxuries of life? You know, everybody likes a little more than just the basic necessities. Some of us have a greater desire for more luxury and some less, but luxury, what about that? Does Bitochen work for that too? That was a famous machlekes between Rabbi Saul Salanta and the Rashash. They lived approximately the same time, about 170 years ago, some 50 years ago. Rabbi Saul, I think, died in, I lose count of how many years, in the 1880s. So what is that? That's 150 years, whatever, something like that. So they had a machlekes. Rabbi Yisrael was adamant of the opinion that bitochen works for luxury as well. Makes no difference. It's not just your needs. Luxury as well. You have bitochen Hashem, and Rashash was very, very strongly opposed to that opinion. He says, luxury, Hashem will needs. Hashem will provide for our needs to anyone who puts his trust in Him. But luxury is a separate cheshbon. You have to earn it, you have to deserve it, whatever it may be. So Rabbi Yisrael said, somewhat uncharacteristically, he says, I'm going to prove it to you. Halachically, this is not a valid proof, so I don't know exactly what he was doing. He says, I'm going to have bitochen and I'm going to get a gold watch. He didn't say a Rolex, I don't know what kind of watch he's talking about. I'm going to get a gold watch. Happy bitochen. And you'll see what happens. Bekitzer, Rabbi Yisrael works on his bitochen. He's batuach that Hashem is going to send him a gold watch. The story goes that there was a ship, and a very, very serious storm at sea. And the captain was very concerned for himself and his crew and his passengers. So he prays, and he speaks to Hashem, and he says, please, save us. If you save us, then, and I don't know whether he was Jewish or not, that the story never told me that detail, but he says, then when we will dock at the next port, I will give my gold watch to the rabbi of the city. Okay. And sure enough, the storm stopped, and they managed to get to the next port. He searches out for the rabbi of the city, and he comes upon the Rashash. And he takes off his gold watch and he says, this is for you. And the Rosh Hash looks at it and says, it belongs to Reb Yisrael Salanter. So this Reb Yisrael held that...
Where's that story from?
I heard it from my Rebbe. I heard it from the Rosh Hashiva. But I don't know. It's Yaduha. It's brought, like, there are people who say stories never happen, you know. But, well, I don't know. You know. So anyway, but this is the story. But Lamaise, it is known that Reb Yisrael and others held that it helps even for luxuries. Okay, so the Beis Halevi only committed himself so far to necessities, but there certainly is another opinion. But then he says more. Uksiv, mishmor ro le'yiro nochon libo batuch b'Hashem. He says, v'har be'psukim de'melazeh. He says, there's another posuk. This posuk is a posuk in Tehillim, which is brought in the Gemara, we'll mention in a moment, in Gemara and Brachos. Mishmor ro le'yiro. From a bad tiding, a shmua, something that you hear that's bad, you need not be afraid when you're nochoin liboy botuach b'Hashem. When the straightness of your heart is trusting Hashem, you need not be worried about any bad tidings that you might hear. Don't worry about what you hear. Don't worry about hearing anything. And don't even worry about what you hear. Mishmua ro lo yiro. You heard a shmua ro. But lo yiro, don't be afraid. Because he's nochon liba batuach b'Hashem. Okay, so on this, this is a Gemara, that famous Gemara, where, just to review it, because I think it's important background information. The Mishnah says, Hatzoyek l'sho'ava harezu tefila shov. One who prays for something that already happened is considered a tefila shov. It's a false tefila, because ma'ida habi. What happened, happened. The Mishnah gives two examples. One is, a person was nichnas le'ir. He came back to his city from a trip, and he hears kol tzvocha screaming and yelling, fire engines raging, and he says, "Yehi rotzon shelo yehi b'toch beisi. I beseech you, Hashem, it shouldn't be in my house." And to that, the Mishnah says, "It's a tefila shov because the house is burning. Whatever house is, wherever they're crying, wherever the fire engines are going, or wherever they are, it's done. So it's happened already." That's called a tefillah shov. It's false. It's sheker. It's in vain. It's not real because it happened already. The Mishnah gives another example. Hoyso ishtem uberes. His wife is pregnant. He says yirotzen should take ishti zochor. Yirotzen, my wife should have a zochor. It's determined already. The Gemara says it's only determined after 40 days. There's a genetic determination at the moment of conception, and then there's the actual developmental determination of Zohar Nekevo, which happens around the 40th day. The scientists say it's a little more than the 40th day, but as somebody once wrote in the New York Times, they're catching up. It's 40 days. Anyway, so that's it. Then the Mishnah comes along, and the Mishnah says, Tona Rabbonan, I mean the Gemara, excuse me. That's Mishnah's on Nun Hei in Brochus, Oman Aleph, and the Gemara's on Daf Samach, Oman Aleph. Tona Rabbonan, Maisa Behilal Azoke, Shabol Eir, comes to the city, Vishoma kol svocho, the same case as the Mishnah. He hears screaming, yelling, fire engines raging. And he says, Botuach ani shein ze betoch beisi. I'm botuach. I trust Hashem that this, the fire, the tzora, is not in my house. And the Mishnah brings this posuk, the Gemara brings this posuk and says, that's legitimate. And even though you can't be mispalo, but he could have bitochen that's not in his house. And the Gemara brings this posuk, Mishmu aro lo yiro, nochon libo batuach b'Hashem. That this posuk, if you don't have to be, there's a shmu aro, a house is burning. It might be my house. It's burning already. You don't have to be afraid of a shmu aro if you have bitochen and Hashem. Okay, let's leave this for a moment. Let me tell you a little story. Many years ago, when I decided, I spent many years, a decade in Los Angeles, the San Fernando Valley, decided we're leaving to come to New York. I thought it would be better for my growing family. To this day, I'm still not sure, but anyway, that's besides the point. But we decided to come to New York. It was about March. And when I announced to the Balabatim that were involved with the yeshiva there, they were a little bit concerned because I was carrying most of the financial burden. So I promised, they almost panicked. So I promised them I will leave them with $120,000 cash in the bank before I leave, plus someone to take over. $120,000 in the mid-80s was, I don't know, today, what, $500,000? It was some money. It was something. Okay. Fine. 2 weeks before I left, it was like the beginning of August, I had no clue where that money was coming from. I didn't have any. I was saying my goodbyes to friends and this. I was together with two former students who already, one was in Stanford pursuing an MBA and a law degree. Another one was finished college and was going doing business, whatever. And I told them my plight. I promised $120,000 in the bank and they don't have it. So one of them, the Stanford one, had an idea. He says, I have one more year to go for my MBA and my law degree. I hate it there. I want to get out of this campus. I had enough of it. I told my parents I want to leave. His parents, who knows how much tuition they paid, you know, to get him to that point. They beg him, stay for one more year. Say, if you stay for one more year to finish, we'll reward you with a Ferrari. The Ferrari at the time that they were going to give him, this is California, you know, that's the way they do business over there. Anyway, so the Ferrari they were going to give him was a $120,000 car. This guy says to me, I'm going to promise my parents that I'll graduate, and I'll tell them, take the $120,000 and give it to the yeshiva. Years later, this guy didn't even remember this incident. No schvitz. Mamish was like a dollar Porsche to him, you know. They got him a Corvette later, but anyway. Okay, so yeah, but that's it. Okay, fine. Okay. And the night before I left, I concluded the deal with his father. Yes, the money was in escrow because they were selling a business. As soon as the business, the escrow closes, $120 to the yeshiva. Okay, I moved to New York. It was Erev Shmini Atzeres, so Shana Rabbah in the afternoon. It's about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It was about 6:30 here. I get a call from the one who took over the yeshiva there. He says, Bo Mayim Ad Nofesh. The escrow didn't close yet. They didn't get the money. We were counting on it. If we don't have $100,000 this week after Yom Tov, we're going to have to close it. We can't go on. I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't have the cash available at the time. But, and what do I have today? But anyway, but I said to him, you know, I just gave a shiur the night before on this Gemara. Hillel Azokin. And Mishmoro Leiro. Mishmoro Leiro Nochali Rotuach Bashem. You don't have to be afraid of Shmois Royce. If you have Bitochen, anything can happen, everything can happen, everything will happen, your needs will be taken care of. Fine. Hung up. He wasn't too happy with the advice, but, you know. I get a call from my best friend, a guy who helped me all the years of the yeshiva there. We're very, very close. And he says, he just came back from an appointment with his father. His father was 72 years old. He says that they was diagnosed with a tumor at the base of the brain. 6 weeks to 3 months they gave him. You know, they gave him. Chisechayim lekol chay. Any doctors here? That pasuk doesn't apply to doctors. But anyway, they gave him 6 weeks to 3 months. Fine. Very tzibroch. What to tell him? Listen, I don't know. But if you have bitochen, mishmor olo yiro, nochel libo batoach bashem. That's the pasuk. The Gemara brings that pasuk. Hillel Azokin heard a shmuro, and he wasn't afraid. But tuach ani shein zebetoich basi. Fine. I think I also threw in stoker tassel mimovis in all honesty. But whatever it was, fine. Then I had to call his father. It was 15, 20 minutes before Yontif, but his father was crying. He just came home, a Holocaust survivor, suffered so much. He told me that he never slept a night without a nightmare since the war, you know. And he was a very wealthy man, and he succeeded. He had a beautiful family, but he never was able to sleep without a nightmare since the war. And here now he's told he has 6 weeks to 3 months left. I told him, listen, I don't know what to tell you, but I know there's a koyach of bitochen. And bitochen is real, and it works. You've got to work. Trust Hashem, trust Hashem. So he says to me, Aber Rebbe, you know, he spoke Yiddish, fort Menschen starben. He says, people die. He says, what are you talking about? You're telling me if I have bitochen, what kind of talk is that? So I said, listen, I don't know the answer to your question, but I know one thing. Bitochen makes a difference. That's why I didn't know the answer to this question. It's a good question. But bitochen makes a difference. Because I hung up the phone. It was Yontif. After Yontif, I find out what happened. My friend, who was so distraught, calls up. He was involved with the yeshiva. Calls up the one who took over the yeshiva. He says, after Yontif, I'm going to a bank, a different bank from his father. He didn't want his father to know what he did. I'm borrowing $100,000. I'm donating it to the yeshiva. Okay. One problem taken care of. 10 minutes later, they get a call from the doctor. They had a conference, they showed the scans, because they decided there was no tumor at the base of the brain. He was born with something there, and the man lived another 14 years. I told my friend to tell his father. I couldn't tell it to his father. I told him, I says, you know, just tell your father that in the yeshiva world they say for nekasha shtart menisht. You know, you had a good kasha, but you don't die from a kasha. You know what I mean? So anyway, that was the story. But Taka, what was the answer? I didn't know the answer. A few weeks later, I was locked out of my car. Most days the cars had keys and things like that. So I was locked out of my car in the White Shul parking lot. And I asked one of the rabbis there if he could just take me home and I get another set of keys and all this. In the back of the front had his baby seat, whatever, a car seat. The back was another one. But there was Sforim over here. He says, pick up this Sforim, you'll hold him on your lap and I'll drive you home. I see a Pirush HaGoyin on Brochus. Open it up immediately. And I see the Goyin asks his Kasha. The old man's Kasha. He says, how could you say, Bitochen Tzadikim suffer? And he said, everything depends upon the oimetz bitchoinoi b'Hashem, the depth and the level of bitochon that he has in Hashem. When I assume that means as follows. Nobody can live forever. It's part of the klola that happened to other Marisha. But in terms of an untimely death, then there is the koyach of bitochon, just as it can assure other needs, and according to Rabbi Yisrael, even luxuries, that can make a difference over there. And that's actually what it is. So this posuk of Mishmor Lo Yira is very, very significant. Okay, let's just finish this little piece. Bahar Bei Psukim Kadimas, and there's so many psukim. The Sefer Tehillim is full. There must be hundreds of psukim of reference and chizuk in bitochon in the Sefer Tehillim. And as we mentioned, that's what when we say the Sefer Tehillim, what we're really doing is strengthening our bitochon. And now he says something else, which is also very interesting. The benefit of bitochin is, according to what he said, you get your needs. Mishmoro, no, Lira, don't be afraid of any bad shmuas, nochon, but if you have bitochin. But he says it's another benefit. I would have thought, what more could you ask for? I have a way to get whatever I want. I have a way to get whatever I need. And according to Rabbi Yisrael, even the luxuries. And Mishmor Ola Yira, whatever, no matter you tell me, whatever there is, there's an economic downturn, there's a pop, there's that, the other thing. Narishkeit, Mishmor Ola Yira, Nochon Libo Batuch Bashem. So now he says, but you know something? That's not all. He sweetens it a lot more. He says, you get schar in Olam Habo for this bitochen too. Even though you might think this bitochen is for myself. I'm not doing it for Hashem, I'm not doing it for the mitzvah, I'm doing it for the money, I'm doing it for the refuah, I'm doing it for the yeshua, I'm doing it for the problem. But the act of bitochon, which is the act of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is such a schus that a person gets rewarded for this in Olam Haba, even though it brought material and worldly benefits in this world. And then he says, "Dezehu klal godol bechol mitzvahs." This is a klal godol in all mitzvahs. Dischar mitzvah b'hayal molecha. Do reward. In other words, the proper reward for mitzvah in this world doesn't exist. What does that mean? He's going to explain. V'chol tevas oylem hazeh hem rak pri hamitzvahs she'oichel b'oylem hazeh. All the benefit that we get in this world from the mitzvahs are like the fruit that emanates from the mitzvahs, that a person eats the fruit in this world, v'hakeren kayom le'olam habo shekuloi toiv. In the world which is all good, which is the eternal world, le'olam habo, that's where you have the keren. So what he seems to say is like this. There is schar in this world for mitzvahs. There is. And certainly the results of the bitochen is a very direct schar that you get for having bitochen. I have bitochen, I have parnos, I have bitochen, I have rishua, refua, this. And it works. If you really have bitochen, it works. So, memela, I would say, oh, I got paid. No. You got paid only the peiros. The pri is like one limited fruit. The mitzvah gave off some benefit. But the keren kayemes, the Karen, which means this is going to produce and produce and produce and produce for eternity. That's the tree itself, so to speak. That's Lo'ilam Haba. So the Inyan of Bitochon is so powerful. I can achieve in this world, and I can secure myself with a Karen Kayemis. Like the Mishnah says, Karen Kayemis Lo'ilam Haba. So that's Taka, the Inyan of Bitochon, and that's the benefit. I would just like to add one thing, and then if you want, we could have a little bit of discussion. And that is as follows, that the Chofetz Chaim writes in a letter, I've mentioned this many times, but I think it's in a letter in Machne Yisrael, where he writes a letter to Jewish soldiers to be Machazik them in Bitochon. At the end of the letter, he sort of signs off and says, Kefi Goydel HaBitochon, Kach Goydel HaAtzlocha. According to the greatness, the level, the magnitude of the Bitochon, to that degree is the greatness of the Hatzlocha. In other words, it's not all or nothing. It's not, I have this meiridik, this 100% Bitochon, and I'm going to be Zoicha. Nah, I didn't make it to that level. I have a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of hesitation. Maybe if it was for $10,000 and you offered me 9,500 or something, I might consider taking it. So you'd say, ah, garnished. You didn't have anything. No. He says, according to the level of Bitochon, that's the level of Hatzlocha. So even if my Bitochon is far less than total, and I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I'm hopeful. I refuse to give up hope. I won't give up hope, but I'm not really sure. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty calm, a little nervous, and my blood pressure is not perfect, but, you know, it's a lot better than it would have been otherwise. So he says, that still works. Kifi gola bitochen, kach gola hatzlocha. It's commensurate. If you get a 5 out of a 10 on bitochen, then you'll have, I don't know what it means, how it translates, then you get a 5 out of 10 in the hatzlocha. So it isn't an all or nothing game, which is very, very important for us, because if it was all or nothing, we would opt for the necessity of assuming nothing, because I can't 100% to be sure, 100%. I wouldn't settle for anything less. I'm completely at peace of mind. I know without any doubt whatsoever that it's going to work out exactly the way I want it. And most people can't achieve that. So he says, all right, don't worry. But to the degree that we get there, it's to that degree we influence the results. Okay, any...
Why can that be the explanation of why people can't have the tough one to...
I'm sorry, a little louder?
Why can't that be the explanation why people can't have the tough one that they're not going to die? So unless they get it to 100%.
I often think about that, but I always thought it was a joke. It's the pshat... You can't have bitochen. Bitochen wouldn't help not to die. Or the pshat is it would help, but who can have bitochen? It's not going to die. So I don't know. Maybe I really don't know. I don't know. Anything else? What's that?
What was the rush of the Vilna Gaon? What were they arguing about?
Whether this concept of bitochen, maybe it's only something that's a special schus for everything that you need. Hashem in His infinite chesed will supply you. But who says everything that your heart's desire, everything that all the luxury things that are beyond what you need? Maybe not. And Rabbi Yisrael held the koyach habitochen. The lashon of the Riri is very beautiful. He says, "Abuteach b'Hashem ein toicheles shaloi nichzavo." One who puts his trust in Hashem, his hope will not be disappointed. Hashem doesn't disappoint the Baalei Bitochon. The truth of the matter is that the Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful moshel. The Chofetz Chaim says that when the Malochim came to Loit and he took them into his house, and then the Anshei Stoim came banging on the door and they wanted to get them out and to kill them, I guess. So he said, please don't touch them. Ki al kein bo'u betzel k'irosi. He says, they came under my protection. They're relying on me, the Chofetz Chaim says, to protect them. Therefore, I must protect them. In other words, Loit, who was not such a tzaddik, understood that if someone's relying on you, you can't disappoint them. And I would even add to that, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't say that, that the Loit told it to the Anshei Stoim. That means the Anshei Stoim could also understand this, that if somebody takes refuge in you and he's counting on you to protect him, then just can't. It's just the antithesis of humanity. And Mimela, That seems to be the idea. So, and that's the predominant idea. I don't know why the Rosh Hash didn't agree with that. But so it's not only because of your needs they're provided, it's because if you're relying on someone, how could he let you down? And there is something to that. It's very, in this week's parasha, Paroi said that to Yosef. Paroi said, take care of your father, because they came here for you to, they're relying on you to take care of them. The Torah says that, not Ramban, the Torah says that. And that's why he says, Acha v'rei bo, he says, Paro tells him, you take care of. Paro understood that. They're counting on you. The Loshen, I think, of the Torah is Nishonim Alecha. They're relying on you. Can't let them down. So there is such a koyach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly, Allah has come over, come over, Kal v'choymer, ben benoishel, Kal v'choymer, the Chofetz Chaim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his infinite rachamim and chesed, if we rely on him, doesn't let us down. Hashem should help that we should strengthen our bitochon and be able to focus it on matfilas, and we should hear Taka Surah Stavis on this terrible, terrible matzav that these people are in. Mm-hmm.